welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I hope that you are having a great day today, wherever you are listening to this, whether it be in your car or while you're exercising. Maybe you're listening to this in your living room, on some type of device. I am thrilled that you have chosen to spend just a few minutes once again with us here today at Road Talk. We're going to continue this series on how to ruin your life by age 35, and we are now on part 6 of this important series. Today we're going to talk about dating, specifically date like a fool. If you want your life to spiral out of control by your mid-30s, well, make very poor choices in who you date and how you date in your 20s and maybe even your early 30s. I want you to think about today, what is the best dating advice you've ever received? Or maybe what was some of the worst dating advice you ever received? Everyone has an opinion on dating. Most of those opinions come unsolicited. But the concept of dating is something that everyone thinks they know something about. And so when it comes to dating, we have to use wise, godly discernment on who we date and how we date and why we date other people. So as we begin, just a few wise reminders about dating and how it can improve your life rather than ruin your life. Number one is, we often tell children, keep your hands to yourself. The Bible over and over repeatedly discusses the importance of sexual morality rather than being sexually immoral. In fact, Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Paul says that sexual morality, holy sexuality, is God's will. And to avoid sexual immorality, to avoid those temptations that would lead you away for God's design for intimate relationships. In his book, Steve Farrar makes the point, as you're dating someone and as you are thinking about remaining pure, often think, do I want someone to be sexually immoral with my future spouse? Because if you don't marry the person you're dating, someone else will one day. If you want your spouse to have remained sexually pure, well, make sure that you do your part in keeping that dating relationship at the time sexually pure. Keep your hands to yourself. Number two, don't act cheap. And when I mention being cheap, I'm not talking about being frugal. I'm talking about lowering your standards, not honoring God's will for your life in a dating relationship. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Someone once said, if you dress like Paris Hilton, don't be surprised if someone tries to take you to a Hilton. How you dress says a lot about your heart. It says a lot about your motives. It says a lot about your own self-esteem. Followers of Jesus are to be people of integrity, high moral character, with supreme respect for their fellow man or fellow woman. Another piece of dating advice, number three, only date other Christians. Now, someone says, well, that sounds pretty narrow-minded. Only date other Christians. Yeah, only date other Christians. Because if you only date Christians, you know what's going to happen? You're only going to marry a Christian. It's weird how that works out, isn't it? If you marry a non-Christian, you're divided before you even begin the journey of marriage. Paul would say, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now you may be saying, but Jacob, there are stories of Christians dating non-Christians and those unbelievers becoming believers. Sure there are, and praise God when that happens. But those stories are in the minority. Most of the time, the believer is drawn to becoming an unbeliever more than the unbeliever being drawn to become a believer. Or maybe they remain a believer, but their convictions and their habits of holiness decrease over time. So when you're dating, if you want to marry a Christian, only date other Christians. Last piece of advice, number four, look for compatibility, not perfection. There is no perfect person to date. People are saying, well, I'm just looking for someone that fits all of the things that I have in mind. No one's going to fit all of the things that you have in mind. So stop looking for the perfect person, but look for the person that is compatible with you and your life. The problem is people often define compatibility by physical attraction. Listen, a man and a woman will always be biologically compatible. God designed it to be that way. What you're looking for is compatibility in other areas of life, which leads to the next question we're going to address for just a few moments. What other factors of compatibility matter? Steve Farrar in his book lists six different areas of compatibility. I'll read them very quickly because they're all very important. Number one, intellectual compatibility, which simply means do we share the same interests and ideas? Emotional compatibility. Do we feel understood by each other? Social compatibility. Are we comfortable in different environments? Volitional compatibility, which simply means can we make decisions together? Spiritual compatibility. Do we have equal passion for being disciples of Jesus? And then finally, physical compatibility. Can we show appropriate and proper expressions of affection? Are we attracted to one another? Now, of those six areas of compatibility, intellectual, emotional, social, volitional, spiritual, physical, how many of those actually require touching? One. How many of those six areas of compatibility require talking? Five. Dating relationships thrive by talking, not by touching. But it's so easy for our dating to be driven by, are we physically compatible versus are we compatible in every other area of life? You know, people often say opposites attract. Let me tell you, that is a myth that needs to be thrown into the garbage. Opposites distract and opposites detract. Relationships are not the same as physics. When it comes to relationships, opposites actually detract from what you both want in life. And so in searching for the right person, what questions should you ask? Let me give you three and we'll be finished today. Number one, what kind of marriage do I want to have? Not who am I going to marry? Those are two very different questions. What kind of marriage do I want to have? What do I want this to look like? You need to envision the marriage you want before the person that you think could be the right fit. Number two, what kind of person do I need to look for to have that marriage that I want? And where will I find them? You know, if you want a real godly marriage, you need to look for that person in godly places. People talk about, well, this is my circle of friends. Listen, if your circle doesn't make you grow, you don't have a circle, you have a cage. Your circle is keeping you from meeting the type of people that you want to meet. And then the third question, if I know what marriage I want to have, and if I know the kind of person I need to look for and where I need to find them, number three, what kind of person do I need to be? You know, am I the most attractive, most godly, most spiritual, most socially adept version of myself as well? Because if I'm looking for someone with high standards, they're going to be looking for someone with high standards. And I need to be able to meet the criteria just like the other people that I'm searching for. So how will you know you found the right person? What if you're looking for the right man? How do I know I found the right man? I'd say, is he teachable? Godly men are constant learners. They're humble enough to receive constructive criticism. You want a man who's teachable. You want a man who treats his mother well. Or if he has sisters, who treat his sisters well. How he treats his mom and his sisters will be a reflection of how he's going to treat you. And how do I know if I found the right woman? Well, is she secure in her femininity? Now, I'm not talking about, is she willing to be a stay-at-home mom? Is she willing to do domestic chores? That's not at all what I mean. You know, women are equally as smart as men, and women can have positions of power and leadership just like men. What I'm saying is, does she understand and appreciate the importance and the beauty of being a woman as God designed her to be? And also, how is her relationship with her father? You know, like it or not, women are going to approach their husbands the way that they approach their fathers. If they have a healthy relationship with their fathers, it's going to be easier. If there's been some trauma there, that's something that the husband will need to acknowledge and understand and be full of grace and patience as he works to build and earn her trust. But what I'm saying more than anything else, you don't marry a dream. You marry a person. And what that person is before the wedding is what they're going to be after the wedding. So, if you don't want to ruin your life, don't date like a fool. Use good discernment. Look for the right people in the right places. Live your life the right way. Live your life with the right goals and the right ambitions. And one day, you will have a beautiful marriage that God prepared for you. As always, thank you for spending some time with us today here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.